Wrestle me, Mush.
I'm feeling festive. I'm hearing all kinds of stories about wrestlers getting fired.
Oh, yes, you are. Yes, Mandy Rose.
Mandy Rose.
Oh, what should you never do if you work for a big American publicly traded company? Show a little nipple. Oh, no.
Oh, dear. Unless they're getting a cut.
Well, yeah, she is running a thing called Fan Time, which is...
Fan Time? I've not even heard of that one.
No,
I thought it was across all of them.
It's sort of that thing of going, if I do OnlyFans, they might find out about that. If I do Fan Time...
Fan Time? No one's ever going to talk about Fan Time.
No one's talking about Fan Time.
Yeah.
Except for, like, the last 2 days where everybody's been talking about Fan Time.
It's been great for Fan Time.
Yeah, but she went on and you know, she was doing some sort of OnlyFans stuff. And, you know, here I am at my pool and stuff. But it had taken...
A turn.
Yeah, it sort of, it seemed to be...
It got very saucy.
Going down one road, and that road was having sex boulevard. And it was a sort of odd thing where she had, obviously she portrayed in television Mandy Rose as being really sexy.
Yeah.
And really lovely. And,
yeah, whoa, okay, right.
Imagine, eh? Imagine, eh, incels? Whoa. And she went on to do her Fan Time thing.
Mm.
And it did become more... sort of porny than I think anyone was expecting.
Right, okay.
She put up a video just of her bum on the groin in jockey shorts of her fiancé.
Okay.
Where she was moving up and down while he smacked her ass and sort of grabbed the cheeks and stuff.
Yeah.
There was a new photo set coming up where the two of them are naked in the shower. He's behind her. She's slightly... I mean, you can see why WWE would go... This
even
is
for us.
A little bit further.
Yeah.
They must have had a chat with her at some point as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You sort of think that they would have sort of went steady.
Yeah.
And that will have been weeks ago.
Yeah. And look, you know, the reality is whatever she is doing, more power to her elbow, that is entirely up to her. The thing is, if you signed a contract with one of those big companies, you know that's the sort of thing. You can't work for Disney Plus.
Yes.
And here's a shot from below where you can't see my face, but you can see a bit of my bum hole through my swimming costume. You cannot, you just can't
you
do
can't
that.
You can't do that.
You can
and
do
Acast
it if you're
have
not.
Told us not.
Yeah, if we weren't with Acast, if we were with FanPod, we could do that. That would be fine.
I'm sure Patreon have got T's and C's that we're not allowed to do this and that.
And let's not even get into whether we've read them or not, because let's make it clear. I'm sure we do loads of stuff on it. There's probably a thing that says you're not allowed to swear. You know,
yeah,
that'll be a
yeah.
basic thing to cover them in the eventuality well, if there's any problems.
There's a new clause because Elon Musk on Twitter has threw his dummy out about his that Twitter page that follows his jet. And so they've changed the T's and C's so that technically posting any picture where anyone else is in the background that you haven't got express permission for is not allowed on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's the new stuff.
That's
and
insane.
it's like well, none of that. None of that exists in the internet. Like,
no.
You can't have something that does that on the internet.
It's like saying copyright exists on the internet. We all know it doesn't. We all know it doesn't.
You can have a go. The only place it works is with films and football matches.
Yeah.
They're the only two things that people will not allow. And they've managed to nail the IP protections.
I mean, even like someone like the Beatles, who are huge and famously litigious. I'm very serious about it. Don't tell me anyone's paid to listen to a Beatles song for the last 9 years. Don't tell me that. I will not believe it. We are actually going to be talking a little bit about the internet today. This is
cool.
Hug me, I'm scared. Don't hug me, I'm scared, isn't it? We're going to be talking about the internet.
There's an advert currently about helping blind people see their tablets.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little barcode you can scan with your phone and it sort of says, these tablets are aspirin, or these tablets are your heart medicine.
Got you.
Right? And it's really good. But they've made an advert on UK television for it that is just like Hug Me, I'm Scared, Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. It's like all of the songs of Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. And every time I watch it, I go, they must have seen Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. And went, yeah, that's good. Yeah, kids seem to like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Have you watched like more than 2 minutes of it?
It all gets dark. The reality is that thing might not identify the tablets correctly all the time.
Yes,
in which case it does seem fitting.
Yeah, more like...
Yeah. Oh, another dog worm.
Whose tablets are these?
My personal tablets!
I got no tablets. I need my tablets.
No one's doing those impressions. And it feels to me, I'm really waiting for one of those terrible satire accounts on Twitter. To have a thing where it's "Don't hug me, I'm a Tory."
Yeah,
and it'll be exactly that. You know,
oh god,
I'm going on. I'm a celebrity.
I'm a fucking cunt.
The end. Yeah, and then there'll be a link for coffee. Today we are going to be moaning at people for trying to monetize their work online. What a fucking hypocrite. Just on the Mandy Rose thing, I really fully support anyone who is taking their own brand and monetizing it. And there will be a lot of people, I think, who are saying the reason that Mandy Rose was fired by WWE, she was the NXT Women's Champion, and they had her lose the belt to Roxanne on one of the NXT TV shows. There'll be a lot of people who say that WWE sacked her because they weren't getting a cut of that gig. And I mean, there are lots and lots of questions about that, about independent contractors versus employees. Mm-hmm. WWE say they're independent contractors, yet they're treated like employees and they can't have external work and things like
that. It's IR35, if you're familiar with UK tax law and Lorraine Kelly's fucking it for everyone.
And that is all valid. But I think as well, the content that she was putting up, she must have known. It was one side of a line. The reality is, even if like we were doing this show, and you did a fan page.
A spicy tweet.
Yeah.
A spicy fan page.
A spicy fan page.
Yeah.
And it started off and I was like, it's just Pete flexing a lot, you know. And you'd go, bit weird, but, you know, whatever.
Going about my day.
Yeah, you know.
Super gluing a plate together.
And then there starts being the stuff where you're getting out of showers and it's just you in a towel. And I'd sort of go, oh, this is sort of evolving, isn't it? And then, you know, before you
know it.
Bitches
on my foot.
Yeah.
Just a shot of an old trainer. Stinky trainer.
You sort of like in your lounge, but there's a mirror behind you, and in the mirror you can see the reflection of the back of one of your balls.
Yes.
That's the
poorly wiped anus.
Yeah.
A poorly wiped anus.
And you look at that and you sort of go, I do think there is that thing of you do have to slightly, well, I certainly feel slightly for WWE on the side, where everyone is just like, oh, what? So what? Sex work isn't work? And you're like, yes, it is.
It is, but
we are a family. We got a TV deal. You know, we can't have people going off and just going bananas when they're with us. It's just
go off the reservation to that degree.
And for what? To get $55 for showing someone both nips? I just come on. Very, very strange.
Lordy.
Look, let's get back to wrestling when it was nice and decent. Where issues about contracts were less important because they were run roughshod over. We're going to go back to watch an absolute masterclass, and that is a match between Lord Alfred Hayes and Bobby Heenan. Just your first impressions, Pete, is this one of the greatest 8 minutes you've ever spent in the company of wrestling?
It's so weird to sort of see how much big curly mop of hair helps.
Yeah.
From distance.
Yeah.
It really helps when you're wrestling, when you're reacting, when you go, oh, fucking love to hit in the face. Like, big curly mop equals great wrestling.
It does. It does. Or like Bobby Heenan, big enough curtains that when you shake your head no, the whole thing begins to move on top.
It's so good to see them doing their stuff.
It really is.
1980, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, that's right. It's 1980 in the AWA. And we've often, you know, we've celebrated Lord Alfred Hayes on this show. Started off ironically.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that we slowly discovered as we went through is you did see clips of him when he was a younger man, when he was performing.
Mm.
And he is an absolutely astonishingly brilliant wrestler.
Yeah.
What I'm fascinated about, really, about this is not just that these two men are at a point in their life where they are full of decades of learning, and they've learned in a different way that people have learned from today. Today you can turn on the television and you can pick up influences from everywhere, but these two had just basically, they learnt that from the people who'd gone before them, living repositories of wrestling history. And the two of them come out and they do a very simple 8 minute match that has the audience totally in the palm of their hand. They work together so brilliantly and it's so exciting. This is one of the only Lord Alfred Hayes matches on YouTube.
Yeah.
There are less than 10. And what that speaks of, really, is it speaks of something a bit worrying, which is the disappearing of wrestling history. Alfred Hayes was working from the early 50s until he was finally split ways with the WWF in 1995. Mm. And all that really exists of his career is that period from 83 to 95 where he's with the WWE and he is doing inept links or he is doing joining sections in Coliseum home videos where the Rockers give him a makeover or he has to go and watch Kamala learning to bowl. Yeah. He'll take the Bushwhackers and teach them how to drink English tea.
Mr. Fuji at a barbecue, I think.
That's maybe, right, yeah. And as Vince's stooge on Tuesday Night Titans,
yeah.
where he would sit there and play the Ed McMahon character and he would just be sort of humiliated and degraded. Yeah. He would then have a moment where he'd speak and whatever he said was worthless. But one of the things about Alfred Hayes that makes him so brilliant is knowing that he isn't just this bumbling idiot, that for so many years before, he was one of the biggest British wrestlers ever to perform in America. Mm. And I did have a little look. On YouTube, there are probably 10 matches. In the last year, someone has uploaded a load of matches from 1957 when Alfred went over to France and took on the French.
Yeah.
And he is so young and handsome. He is absolutely gorgeous.
So tall and thin in the face.
And what a performer.
Yeah.
So what's really magic is one of these matches that I had a look at, and they've been uploaded. I don't know where these come from.
Mm.
So they've got French commentary from the time. They're black and white.
Was it a bit Arabic at the start?
Yeah,
that was confusing.
It says catch, yeah. which is a sort of generic European term, really,
right.
for wrestling.
Oh, okay,
for wrestling.
Right, okay.
It is known pro wrestling also as catch wrestling. Catchers catch can.
Right.
It is the name. But as you say, suddenly there's this Arabic that comes up as well. You go, where's this from? There's a watermark on it as well
yeah.
that you don't recognise. It's just, what archive
where's
has this come
sold
out?
To?
Who tracked this down and then put it up on YouTube? I mean, for the delight of, I think, 837 people, which is absolutely nuts. There's a match from 1957 where Alfred takes on a guy called Guy Robin.
Mm.
And by this time, of course, 57, the fact that Alfred is in France means that he's got a name, because you wouldn't have just been booked in France as an unknown British
no.
performer. So he's got this pre-career about which there's very, very little information. If you go on Cage Match, which is the website that puts together all the results that have come in, the very first matches for Alfred are in 1953,
right.
but they take place in Spain. So he's already a big star by 53, but we don't know anything
about
him
before that.
When I've been doing stuff for the newsletters and looking into Alfred Hayes' history, there's all different things about where he comes from. There's some say that he's born in Birmingham. Some say that he's from London. He's from Westminster. All of it is just shrouded in mystery. And the weirdest thing about Alfred is not only is his life shrouded in mystery, none of his matches are available. It's like he didn't exist. What we do know about Alfred is that in the late 60s, he makes the trip from Britain to America. And very, very few British performers had ever done that.
Mm.
He goes over at a time where financially he's had a bit of a windfall. So, again, written about in the newsletter, he was co-owner of the Cromwellian, which is one of Swinging London's grooviest night spots in the 1960s. There is a very real possibility that Alfred met the Beatles on a few occasions.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mind-blowing.
Definitely.
He'd been working with a guy called Ray Hunter and Paul Lincoln. And Paul Lincoln was a promoter. And he, with Hunter, owned the Two Eyes Coffee Bar, which is where rock and roll was born. A place that you used to live next door to
yes.
as well, above E Camisa, which
sadly leaving us.
It is, that's right. Yeah, they're evil landlords. And what had happened with Paul Lincoln was Paul Lincoln had been running independent shows against Joint, and Joint Promotions with a big monopoly of British promoters who had carved up Britain into individual territories.
Mm.
Well, Paul Lincoln started running shows in and around London with a small group of pretty much disgruntled ex-Joint employees, and they had become incredibly popular within London. He began sort of stretching out a bit. In the end, Joint decided it was easier not to try and put him out of business, but to buy him out, and they bought him out for £1 million, huge amount of money in the late 60s.
Yeah.
It's believed that Alfred shared in some of that money, and using that money and from the sale of the Cromwellian, Alfred Hayes sets up in America. And what he becomes is he becomes one of the very, very first British people who becomes a main eventer in American professional wrestling. He would go on to have matches early in his career against the WWF champion Bruno Sammartino. He had single match that lost by disqualification. He had a match with the NWA champion Dory Funk Jr., which had actually ended in Alfred winning the NWA title, but it was later reversed because there'd been interference from Dory Funk's father, right, who is Dory Funk Sr., and the belt had been returned. And this was such a big angle at the time that Alfred was voted Pro Wrestling Illustrated's most inspirational wrestler of 1972. Nothing of this exists. It's never turned up. No, whether it was filmed, nobody knows. But what you've got in Alfred is you've got the first person from Britain to go to America and compete on the top levels and become a main eventer. He would go on to have a long career in St. Louis, where he takes on the sobriquet Lord Alfred Hayes. That's the first time he uses that. Obviously, not as easy to pull that off at home in Britain, because everyone just goes, I mean, he's just Alf from Westminster. In later life, Lord Alfred Hayes did say that he actually was a genuine lord, that he had the lordship of some tiny little sort of place. I think,
oh, yeah, one of the, like, kind of like the steward of Frogsham. Yeah, exactly. Frogsham, like the footballer Cissé bought a house that happened to have a title.
Exactly. My father-in-law bought a house in Devon, and that came with some kind of weird, you know, baronetcy. And it was an extra $5,000 to have that. And so he was like, I don't need that.
I don't need that.
And they said, I'll tell you what, though, if you go to a lot of restaurants, it's really useful because you ring and make your reservations. But by the late 70s, Alfred Hayes, his knees are shot and he decides he is going to have to retire. So he transitions into a manager who occasionally will wrestle in big matches and hot angles. And that's what's happened here. In the AWA in 1979, he's been managing a guy called Super Destroyer 2, who would later become better known as Sergeant Slaughter, a masked wrestler. And that masked wrestler then jumps to be managed by Bobby Heenan, at which point Alfred becomes a fan favourite, and we get this match here. I love this match, Pete. There's so little that happens, but every single move is perfectly timed to get the maximum response from the audience. In 8 minutes, if I had an 8 minute match and I did this match, I would be so proud of myself. I love it. Heenan is the greatest foil for someone like Alfred Hayes. So Alfred Hayes is coming out with all of that brilliant British timing. The funny thing about British wrestling, it's a mix of technique and humor. There's something about the timing of all those British wrestlers who've you know, worked in Britain all those years. Mm. When they go to America, nobody else has that thing of being able to make an audience laugh by timing an eye poke,
yeah,
or by timing a smack, or by throwing their arm back and watching the other person flinch. There's loads of humour. And Heenan, there is no one better at playing that cowardly chicken shit heel.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this, about how, like, you know, I just can't believe that Alfred Hayes' career has disappeared. And I can't believe how much that impacts on people saying he could have been one of the greatest of all time. And certainly a pioneer in when it comes to British people who go to America. But as an encapsulation of everything that he was brilliant at, I don't think there's anything that comes close to summing up anyone else in one match than this one does with him.
Yeah.
It's got humour, it's got timing, it's got a crowd in the palm of his hand. It's got a little nod to his heritage as well. Right at the start, he grabs Heenan's arm and does a sort of spin on the floor, and then Heenan, perfectly timed, sort of begins to succumb to it and lands on his back. And when you watch the match with Guy Robin that took place in 1957, it's the same move that Alfred does right at the start. And that sense that television has ruined wrestling to some degree, because it's taken away the novelty. What you've got here is you've got Alfred doing moves and match layout that he's been doing for 30 years. Mm. So he's like a finely tuned machine, and it's just nobody here has ever seen it. People in Britain might have seen it after 25 years. So he goes to a new market and they've never seen anything like it again.
Yeah.
What I was fascinated about this as well is it made me think about the other British people who have come. And really, we underestimate the importance of British wrestlers within American pro wrestling. So you've got Hayes here, largely forgotten, but clearly at the time, a huge and important main eventer. You have people like Billy Robinson, who came along afterwards. At one point, Hayes managed him, I think, in St. Louis, or either that or Mid-South, I forget which. Could have been the AWA. And you have him come along, and he's not very good on the mic, but he's one of the great wrestlers, and people really respect him. But then you can see up till up till really the WWF takes over and that American pro wrestling becomes the big thing, the British influence goes away. And we don't see it again really until the return of William Regal. Mm. So Regal comes out and he's wrestling in a different style, and that's thrilling. We then get sort of further towards the present day, and you have the resurgence that came with people like Will Ospreay and Zack Sabre Jr., who bring a very, very British style into international wrestling. And everyone in international wrestling goes, this might be the best form of professional wrestling available. What's really interesting is, as well, watching this and going, you know, the key to this for me, who is the last person who trained with all of these guys from the World of Sport era? It's probably William Regal. You could make an argument for Robbie Brookside. And both of those men are integral now. William Regal's returned to the WWE under Triple H.
That's interesting.
And he's taken on the role of, he's going to be a vice president. Mm. That is such an amazing thing. But you can see a weird sort of historical echo of it, that every time there's been a great British performer who's gone to America and has done well, they've ended up being right at the very top of the business. Mm. And there's a funny thing that I think we in Britain need to do a bit more, which is to go, we have to understand that the British influence on international professional wrestling is massive. Mm. And we never talk about it because, like Alfred Hayes, that whole history has never been written and nobody cares about it. And it's an absolute disservice. I'm absolutely no hyperbole here. There should be statues of Alfred Hayes in every single town and village in this country.
I mean, if you are walking past someone who's loved and respected in your town, you happen to have a file, and you just scrape their face off. Scrape the statue's face off.
Yeah.
And we will replace it with a not Alfred Hayes.
We're having them cast. We're having them cast. And the other thing is, if you sort of go, well, that sounds unlikely. I mean, I'm not going to get in trouble or anything.
No.
Just get a thick black marker and write Lord Alfred Hayes over war memorials, hospitals,
kind of places where people have been knocked over on roads.
Yep, absolutely.
If there's cross out pictures of them and just
hospices, write like just write that everywhere.
Children,
a great
go
thing
into
you
a school
do.
And write on all the children, on all the children,
all the children. A great thing you can do as well. Burn off a copy of this match onto a DVD and put it where they've got defibrillators in villages. Take the defibrillator out, pop the DVD in.
Stamp on the defibrillator.
Stamp on it.
Stamp on it.
You don't want them just going, oh, I'll put that back and take the DVD out. Throw the defibrillator in a river. And I think sooner or later, hearts and minds, Pete.
Exactly.
Hearts and minds. Look, you are in for the time of your life. If you've never seen this match, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's Al Hayes versus Bobby Heenan from the AWA in 1980.
And do look for Guy Robin, or rather...
Guy Robin!
Lovely little eagle's nest kind of hair.
Yeah.
He's quite small. The referee's dressed as a tennis player. I love every part of this.
It's magic as well, because what's incredible is Guy Robin... clearly French. wrestling in France.
He's practically having an affair with an older lady in the ring.
Exactly that. He is very quickly booed against Al Hayes. Al Hayes is the best. I did actually do a vague thing of going, can I track down Alfred Hayes' family on Facebook to just go, hello, this is going to sound mad, but I think your father is probably my favourite pro wrestler of all time. We've got a podcast that's big, and I just wondered if there was any way we could have a chat.
Yeah.
And the only thing that came up is his son had been arrested in Texas for, I think, a DUI. And he looks a bit like his dad, but... I also looked at it and I thought, you're a bit old to be getting a DUI. And then I just thought, I think this is going to be one of those things where I end up having to wire money to show good faith and then I never hear from him again.
Yeah, you don't have to. You wonder what that person's life was like.
Yeah.
You do.
I mean, Alfred Hayes' son. I mean, it would just be continually, every time your dad tried to kiss you, actually bonking your head.
Just falling down the stairs, pulling shelves off.
Listening
off
to
walls.
Him stuttering his way through the phrase, would you like some breakfast, taking 25 minutes. Look, I mean, joking aside, this is a reminder when I watch this match as well about how fragile wrestling history is. This match was originally on the WWE's 24/7 service, which was the precursor to the network, an online-only service. Although I think in America it was available through one of those. Nobody understands outside America the American television system.
Yeah.
Do they still do cable? I can imagine they don't have like streaming broadband TV. I imagine you have to get
still
a box.
I think they still do cable because you still see hotels with like HBO.
Yeah.
Outside those little shitty Motel Sixes and stuff. Yeah. We got HBO.
I imagine that what's really big there is something like Comcast.
Yes.
Have you got a Comcast dongle?
Do you have you got an NTL World box?
Yeah, that's what you need. But what it reminds you of is, you know, the WWE, they haven't put this on the network.
Mm.
So it was out for a bit. And there's been some suggestions recently where they've said there is no longer really any plans to put old wrestling onto the Peacock network.
Yeah.
Because they say it doesn't seem to bring new subscribers in, and who cares? They did announce this month they are putting on some stuff from 1980, but it's just the sort of standard pre-Superstars sort of generic television. So they do have, they are the custodians of this history. And what you can see more and more is that this history doesn't really matter to anybody. And that's a crying shame. It's absolutely terrible.
If they can't monetize it, they're not making it available.
No, exactly. And the stuff then just stays under lock and key, and it will never, ever come out. And the history of wrestling is already, because of the nature of it being real and fake and it being closed doors and things, the history of wrestling is already patchy.
Yeah.
What this does by not opening up an archive is it just keeps it that way. And the more time that passes, the less people are interested. Mm. And so what you end up with is just missing sections. All these men who put in, you know, a lifetime's work to change this business, and their work is just no longer available. It's a little bit like if someone had bought up all the art. I bought up all the art, and now I'm banning all the postcards, and you'll never ever see, you'll never see the Mona Lisa again. And there's just old people going, oh, well, wonderful painting it was. Oh, look at the modern paintings today. Not a patch on it. Not a patch.
Even though we fed all of the art that was ever painted pre-19th century, fed it into a big AI machine, and now that's art. Oh, just art.
As you say that, Pete, I am thinking, if anyone does have one of those full subscriptions to an AI machine, please do send me what it brings up for Lord Alfred Hayes' statue. That is what I want to see.
I think I'm still on one of the deep learning modules. I think I paid for a 3-month subscription. But,
Lord Alfred Hayes smashing a defibrillator. I'd like to see that.
In the ring.
Oh, what a Christmas surprise. Look, all I'm going to say, normally, you know, we're doing a hilarious roundup of some shitty wrestling and everything. This is just gorgeous wrestling. And honestly, I mean, you know, from the heart, go and watch that.
Yeah.
Go and adore Lord Alfred Hayes. And on Christmas Day, remember, the most important thing about it is to get your family to stand up and pledge allegiance to the Lord.
to the Lord. I mean, in that match, you do see Bobby the Brain Heenan hitting a really weak chair shot on both Hayes and the referee at the same time.
Yeah.
So if you want to see that, just
that's good. They both roll back as well, don't they? It's just 8 minutes of wonder.
Yeah.
Just
fantastic
wonder.
Lovely stuff.
Look, so, you know, look, sometimes at Christmas, it's nice to be honest, isn't it?
Nice to be honest.
Nice not to just piss about.
We're not pissing about. Oh, we never piss about.
Oh, I'd like, I want to see his willy. That's normally what we're like.
That's that weird OnlyFans version that she was using.
Oh.
I really want to see his willy.com.
If Mandy Rose would like to do a set of pictures where she dresses up as Bobby
Lord Alfred Hayes. As Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yeah. Oh, mate.
Oh, lovely.
I would definitely give that the $40 subscription. $40 now. It went up overnight.
Oh,
yeah,
I bet it did.
$25 before all this happened.
Staring to the abyss. I shouldn't use that phrase. Yes, that's why she was fired. Right, we'll be back next time with more WrestleMania.
WrestleMania!